if you have money to burn and you don't want to deal with a whole lot of stuff and you want someone to do it for you, you can hire one of those companies. But I will tell you that they charge thousands of dollars to set it up and several hundred dollars, if not thousands of dollars every year to maintain it. And that's money that you could put into your investments if you just do a little bit of work yourself.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Multifamily Money Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow. And today we've got a really interesting guest for you. Her name is Lee Cowden. She is a multifamily syndicator, but her story is far greater than that. She started off as an air traffic control for the Air Force. Can you imagine that? 18 years old, you're directing big planes, fighter jets for the Air Force. And she also was a stockbroker. She started and created multiple successful businesses, and she is an attorney. On top of that, she has a family, 3 children, husband. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Lee has done it all. So for those of you that are thinking, I can't get into this real estate game, or I can't get it, whatever your passion is, you just don't have enough time, I'm going to hit back at you. That's not true. Look what she's doing. She's an attorney. She has a family. I'd even mention she's also a commercial broker, real estate broker. She's investing in multifamily real estate. I'm sure I'm going to forget a lot of stuff because Lee does a lot of stuff, but she is also an author. She has written several books, and by several, I mean dozens of books over the past decade or so. She's multiple languages, well-known across the world. So she does it all. So for any of you out there that, you know, that think there's not enough time, that you can't pursue your passion, that's just not true. Maybe it's not really your passion. You've got to be able to find something that you just can put all your energy into. And Lee does that. So we have a great show for you. She's going to give you a little bit of info on her background, but most of the episode is going to be about using your retirement assets to invest in multifamily real estate, or invest in any real estate for that matter. A lot of people don't know that you can actually use your IRAs, your 401ks to invest in real estate. And there's a reason for that. You know, the big banks, the big asset managers, the big brokerages, they don't want you to know that. Like I've said before, they're like a casino. They want to keep the money in house because that's how they make money. So they don't let you know that you can actually invest in assets, alternative assets like real estate. But it's in the IRS tax law, specifically says that you can use those retirement assets to invest in alternative assets like real estate. It's a great show today. If you have any interest in investing in real estate using your retirement accounts, I would really urge you to listen to this episode. Or if you just want to listen to someone who has a lot of life and business experience, I would highly recommend it. So let's get into the show. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you for being on. It's really appreciated. We got a special guest today. Lee Cowden's a good friend of mine. She's done a lot of amazing things in her life. We could just have an episode on everything she's done, but there's some other important topics we want to touch on. So I guess we'll just get right into it, Lee. So if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you've done, and how you got to where you are today.
Okay. Well, let's see. I am an Air Force veteran. I was an air traffic controller when I was 18 years old, which is kind of scary when you think about it, controlling air traffic over the skies of Europe from 18 to 21. I was a stockbroker for a while, started several businesses in several different industries, and also am an attorney licensed in Florida and Tennessee. Last year, I got my real estate broker's license so that I could use the tools available to brokers in my own business, and also to work with people interested in investing in commercial real estate, because that's my passion now. I'm a published author of over 40 fiction novels, and I have been living off of the royalties from my publishing business for almost a decade now, and was looking for a way to diversify my portfolio because the majority of my income was coming from a single source, that being Amazon. Even though my books are available through all the online retailers and bookstores, Amazon just makes up the lion's share of that income. So if you've ever done business with Amazon, you'll know that Amazon can change its policies overnight with no warning and effectively cut your income down to nothing. If Amazon wants to do that, it can do that. So that's a scary place to have all your eggs. So I decided to find something totally unrelated to Amazon that could generate the same type of evergreen income that publishing royalties do, but something that I would have more control over. And so I started looking at all different types of investments or purchasing different businesses, and I landed on commercial real estate. And then I did a lot of research into the different asset types: industrial, retail, office, medical office. And then I really liked multifamily investments for several reasons. And I know you've talked about them on your podcast because I've heard your other episodes, mainly because even in a recession or a virus pandemic, people still need a place to live and they find ways to pay their rent so that they have a place to live. And so even though it's not completely immune to downturns, it survives in a much stronger position than most of the other asset classes. And so I really liked that lower risk profile. I also really liked, because I've personally done a lot of fix and flips of single family homes, and I love transforming a neglected space into a beautiful space that people can live in and be happy living in. And you can do the same thing with multifamily apartment buildings. So I started a company called Sparks Blackthorn Capital, and I am working on real estate syndications. So that is like what you do, putting together investor capital to purchase larger assets, apartment buildings of 100 units or greater, that have suffered a lack of maintenance or poor property management, or they just haven't done any updates in a long time. And so we can buy those for a bit of a bargain and then spend some money fixing them up, increase the value, increase the net operating income, and significantly increase the value of that property over a short period of time, which allows us to pay our investors a nice return on their investment. And then when we sell or refinance the asset later, we can all participate in that appreciation. So that's what I'm doing now, in addition to managing my publishing business. And the legal work I do as an attorney is entirely related to the commercial real estate business. So syndications, as your listeners probably already know, are securities offerings. And so there's a lot of legal work involved in that. So I do a bit of that as well.
Wow, Lee, that's such an impressive background. I've heard that several times and it still surprises me every time and impresses me every time. Thanks for sharing that. And there's two points I want to bring up that Lee hit on. One is, if you are out there saying you don't have enough time to do anything that you're passionate about in life, whether it be real estate investing and syndicating or maybe starting a charity or whatever it is, did you just hear what she said? All those things she does, you definitely have time to do it if you really want it. So I think that's very important to acknowledge that. And two, she said she wanted to diversify her income stream. She said she's living off her publishing income from writing books. Also, Lee, what are the name of the books in case the listeners check them out?
Well, my pen name is L. Casey, E-L-L-E-C-A-S-E-Y. So if you go on Amazon or Apple Books or Kobo or Google Play, wherever you buy your books online, if you just put my name in the search window, you'll find a list of the books there. Awesome. And I write in several genres because I read in several genres and I get bored if I write in the same genre all the time. So there's something there for everyone.
There we go. Well, thank you. But yeah, so she's diversifying her income. She has done very well as an author, but she knows she needs to diversify her income because she can't rely on one income stream. Because like she said, Amazon could come down the road, change their policy, and her income could be cut to a fraction or even possibly zero. So that's something everyone should be thinking about. Think about multiple streams of income coming in so you don't have to rely on just one. And I think that's become even more evident with everything that's going on with the pandemic. You can't just necessarily rely on one income stream. And then when it comes to real estate, like Lee said, housing, everyone needs a place to live, whether it's a pandemic or not. You don't necessarily need office space, as we're seeing. People are sent home, working from home. And the talk now is, are they going to bring these people back, or are they going to keep some of them home and downsize their office space? Well, that's going to hurt office space investors. And then we already know the story with retail was kind of already dying before this, but it's kind of taken another nail in the coffin. So I'm with Lee on that. I'm all in on multifamily. That's all Greenbrier Capital Group at this time invests in. There's some other asset classes like self-storage. I think Lee and I have a connection on that. That's another one that we may pursue in the future, but right now it's primarily multifamily. Well, Lee, thank you for sharing a little bit on your background. Now to kind of piggyback off the author thing, you wrote another book recently that's a new genre for you. Yeah. Specifically, it has something to do with investing with retirement assets. And if we look at IRAs, there's over $9 trillion in IRA money in the United States. That's a huge market that is untapped when it comes to real estate investing, because people just don't know that they can use those assets to invest. And when it comes to the whole retirement qualified plan market, it's over $29 trillion. So there's just a lot of money out there that is in one basket. They're investing in traditional assets like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. And while, yeah, you can use that to grow your portfolio, that's not true diversification like we were talking about earlier, creating different income streams. So when there is a market crash, you're not, all your eggs are not in one basket and you take a huge hit on your portfolio, because all those assets I just mentioned either correlated to one another or to the market as a whole. And true diversification comes when you invest in something that has low correlation to the other assets you're investing in, something called an alternative asset like multifamily or like real estate. So in Lee's book, she talks about how you can use those retirement assets to invest in real estate. So Lee, if you could just explain that, how that works, like what type of retirement accounts, is it all retirement accounts that you can use? So if you could just give the listeners an explanation on that, that would be great.
Okay. So the name of my book, it's a mouthful, but if you know anything about Amazon's algorithms, you know that they're using keywords to suggest books to readers. And since I've been in the business for a long time, I knew I had to throw as many keywords in that title as I could so that people would be able to find it, because you're in a stack of 5 million books. You don't want to be near the bottom of the stack or no one will ever read your book. So the title of the book is The Passive Investor's Guide to Investing in Real Estate Through an IRA. Avoid taxes and maximize your returns. So most people know about, I would say, the two broader categories of retirement accounts. There's your individual retirement account where maybe you were putting $2,000 a year into it just after tax income, maximizing what you could do in an individual IRA. And then the other is the 401k, or the types of accounts you get through your employer, where sometimes your employer would match some or all of your contributions or not, but it was in an account that your employer would remove money from your paycheck every month for you, whatever you said you wanted taken out, and would put it in pre-tax into this retirement account for you that you could then start accessing after 59 and a half. So there are lots of other types of IRA accounts, but they kind of fall into one of the other category. And you can use assets that are in either one of those types of retirement accounts to purchase real estate. The difficulty is if you have your 401k set up in a company-sponsored 401k, they usually limit what you can invest in. So there'll be a handful of mutual funds, and that's usually it. Mm-hmm. And in an individual retirement account, it's held with a custodian who also limits what you can invest in. So for example, if you have your IRA at Charles Schwab, you can invest in all the stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, options that they have access to, but you cannot invest in real estate through that type of fund because they don't have specific properties syndicated that you can join in as a passive investor. So the question is, how do you get money out of these accounts transferred into an account that you can invest in real estate and not at the same time create a taxable event? So you don't want it to be a distribution.
Right. Because then you get hit with taxes and penalties.
So when you're moving money out of an IRA or a 401k, there's two avenues you can go. The one that most people know about is called a self-directed IRA. And that's an individual retirement account that is held outside of a custodial arrangement. It's usually at a trustee or a bank or somewhere like that, where you can transfer your money. It's not a taxable event. And then they'll give you a checkbook. And you can use that checkbook to invest in real estate, precious metals, oil, gas, that kind of thing. There's very few things you can't invest in. The problem with investing through a self-directed IRA is that you become subject to taxes on the income that you earn through that real estate investment. So there's some acronyms that we use in the industry that I'm going to run by you. The first one is UBTI. That's unrelated business taxable income. So the unrelated business is that investment in the real estate. And if you have an unrelated business that you've invested your retirement income in, then you then become subject to UBIT, which is unrelated business income tax. And so most real estate of the type that we do is leveraged. We use investor money for the down payment, but the majority of the purchase is done through loans. So this tax applies to the portion of real estate that was purchased using loans. So if you have a 70% loan on that purchase, 70% of the income generated from that property is subject to the tax. And if you're in a 37% tax bracket, that's what you're going to get taxed on that money. So some of it will be offset by depreciation if you as an investor are participating in the depreciation available through that asset. But wouldn't it be nicer to not have to use the depreciation for that? So it would be a lot nicer to be able to invest your retirement money and not have to pay any taxes. So the best way to do that is not to use a self-directed IRA, because that's one of the accounts that is subject to UBIT. The other accounts that are subject to UBIT are Roth IRAs, SEP IRAs, and simple IRAs. But there's an account that is not subject to those taxes, and that is a solo 401k. So how do you open a solo 401k if you are an employee at another company and you have a 401k there? Well, the rules about a solo 401k are that you have to be a business owner and you can't have any employees outside of your spouse. So let's say, for example, that I am a computer engineer and I work at a big mutual fund company and I do a lot of their IT work and I'm paid a salary for that and I participate in the company's 401k plan. I could start a little side business doing IT consulting where I go and help a couple people during the year set up their computer network at home. And I charge them whatever I charge for that service. I now have a small business and I can open a solo 401k. And you can open a solo 401k plan at a place like Vanguard. And Vanguard has a particular plan where you can invest in whatever you want, including real estate. So in order to invest through Vanguard, I don't want to get into those details in this podcast because it will just bog us down in the boring stuff because it's paperwork. But you just have to submit a couple of documents, and I have free samples of those documents available through my company, and I can make them available for you to give to anyone that you're working with. So it's really simple. You basically are setting up a 401k for your little company, and then you can transfer funds out of your IRA account or your other 401k account through your employer and into this 401k plan. You can also contribute every year a substantial amount of income into these accounts that you can use towards investments. And you're not limited to just real estate. You can invest in just about anything the IRS allows. So there are consultants out there who you can use to do this work for you. There's one who talks about an EQRP, which is just a fancy term for a solo 401k plan. And there are other companies I've seen on, you know, just if you just put solo 401k, invest in real estate, you'll find all kinds of consultants. And if you have money to burn and you don't want to deal with a whole lot of stuff and you want someone to do it for you, you can hire one of those companies. But I will tell you that they charge thousands of dollars to set it up and several hundred dollars, if not thousands of dollars every year to maintain it. And that's money that you could put into your investments if you just do a little bit of work yourself. So the book that I wrote tells you how to do it. And once you have the documents in your hands, you see it's just filling out a few lines on the paperwork, which you would have to do anyway with a consultant because they don't know your information. So you have to give it to them anyway. So you're really doing the work either way. That's the best vehicle for investing in real estate and avoiding the taxes. That's the solo 401k. And it is fully recognized and accepted by the IRS. Then they encourage it. The IRS encourages individual investing and they encourage investing in real estate. So they make it fairly easy to do.
Yep. And I've personally done it. And I know a lot of other syndicators out there have traditionally instructed or moved their investors towards the self-directed IRA because self-directed solo 401k wasn't really known about, even though it's been there all along to use. And like Lee said, the problem with that is you end up having to use your depreciation benefits to offset that income you're making in your self-directed IRA, which kind of defeats the purpose of using your IRA to invest because that's supposed to be a non-taxable account when your assets are in there. So yeah, why not use something where you can then put that benefit of depreciation to offset other passive income? So I couldn't agree with her more. I personally use a solo 401k, which I actually used Lee's paperwork to do that. And it's a little work, but it's not that hard. And her template it's got all the legal jargon. You just essentially are changing a few names and, you know, numbers around to fit your business/profile. Yeah, and it makes it really easy. And I'm not going to be subject to any tax on any gains I make. So I would highly recommend this to anyone who's thinking about using retirement assets to invest in real estate. And why not? It's just a great way to get into it, especially with deals like Lee and I do. The minimums are, you know, anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000. And the average person probably doesn't have that in cash, but most people that have a retirement account do have that. So it's a great way to get into real estate. But yeah, thanks Lee for sharing that. And it looks like it's kind of like what you mentioned earlier, that a lot of these big brokerages don't offer it. It's because, like I've mentioned before, it's like a casino. They want to keep the money in-house so they can make money off of your money. And that's why a lot of people don't know about it. And it's sad. So I think it's awesome what you're doing and writing a book and getting in the word out. So one, people should get your book and just learn about this. And then two, if they want to do that, they should reach out to you to get your templates, which is something that you were graciously offered to share, which thank you for that.
Sure.
But is there anything else that people should know about using these accounts when it comes to investing in real estate? I know you mentioned that there is the paid for services, which yeah, is expensive, but is there anything else they should be looking out for?
Well, once the assets in the 401k exceed $250,000, there is a one-page form that needs to be submitted to the IRS. But anyone who's got those kinds of assets and they're trading in real estate needs to have an accountant who has experience with real estate investments. And the accountant will fill that form out for you, should know all about that form. And it's super basic. It is nothing to be concerned about. The other thing that you need to know is, obviously, this is a retirement account and you have full control. So you got to be careful about not investing in things that you're not supposed to be investing in. So you can't buy a collectible car with out of your 401k. That'll be considered a distribution and you'll be taxed and penalized for taking that money out early. But we're always encouraging the people that we meet to invest in commercial real estate, and those always qualify. So, and it's very easy to do because your syndicator will give you wiring instructions for your investment and you can wire it right out of your 401k account. So it's not like you even have to write a check or worry about that. So it's a really simple vehicle and you just keep track of the amount of money that you're putting into your 401ks because the IRS allows you to put a lot of money in every year, but it's spread out over all your 401ks. So if you have a 401k through work and then you set up a solo 401k, you can't double your amount of contributions.
Right.
So pay attention if you are investing through your employer, how much money is going in from your employer income so that you don't accidentally over contribute.
Yeah.
And I can't recall off the top of my head what the contribution limits are for 2020, but
I think it's around 57,000.
Yeah, 57,000.
And then there's a catch up for 60 and above.
Yeah. So if you start
investing
later,
65, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which is another benefit of a solo 401k, because you cannot contribute that much in a self-directed IRA because the solo 401k also has a employer contribution as well as the employee contribution. So that's just another great benefit as well.
Exactly. If you waited until you were older to start investing, you can sock away a lot of money in a short period of time with the solo 401k, which is really nice. And it's all tax deferred, right? So that's pre-tax dollars.
And like you mentioned too, just like IRA, if you have a solo 401k from a previous employer, you can roll that over into your self-directed solo 401k as well. So that's another way to get start off with a nice lump sum of assets to invest.
Exactly. And the company that's hosting your solo 401k, and I talk about Vanguard in my book because I did a lot of research calling around to different institutions, and Vanguard seemed to have the best situation. Vanguard has the forms you fill out and send to the custodian of your original IRA account or 401k account. And it's just something they do over wire. So you just follow up and make sure they transfer the money. It's a fairly easy process.
That's great. And if I recall, there's a specific account you want at Vanguard. Don't they have two different types of solo 401ks that you...
They do. They have a already put together one for you. I don't remember what they call it. I did detail it in my book. I haven't read my own book in a while, so I forgot the name of it. But when you're talking to them on the phone, you tell them you want the one where you submit your own plan documents.
Right.
That's the one that gives you the freedom to invest in real estate and to wire funds out of the account for alternative investments.
Okay, great. Yeah. So listeners, if you're doing this, make sure you get the right one. Because I remember when I was originally talking to Lee about this and I reached out, they were trying to push me towards the one where you only can invest in their own mutual funds. So be careful of that. Like I said, the house wants to keep the money in house.
Exactly. Exactly. But I found the folks at Vanguard to be very friendly and helpful. So I like it as a company. And they do have, if you do want to diversify your funds into mutual funds and stuff, Vanguard has some decent ones, although I'm sure you're better at evaluating that stuff than I am.
I trust Lee and whatever she touches, so I don't know. No, but thanks for sharing that. I think it's just a phenomenal way to invest in real estate that a lot of people don't know about. And anytime that I have a conversation with someone that doesn't do what we do, they have no idea. They're shocked. They're like, what? I can use my IRA or my retirement accounts to invest in real estate. It's too bad that people don't know that, because a lot of people think that they need to have millions of dollars in cash to get into the real estate game. And it's just not true.
Yeah. And also I think, especially during this pandemic, when the stock market dove to record lows, people who thought the stock market was kind of invincible are taking a second look and saying, if you were thinking of retiring this year or next year, you watched your $1 million balance go down to $200,000.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, I'm going to have to work for the next 15 years to get back to where I started. And that's a scary position to find yourself in. So that's why investing in alternative investments that aren't correlated to the stock market, that's the smartest thing to do with your money.
I agree. So. And like I always say, cash flow is king. I don't know about most people. I say this all the time. I live and pay monthly bills. I don't pay bills when I sell my stock. So I need something that pays me monthly or at least quarterly so I can live. And it's just a great way to do it. Yeah. So Lee, I usually ask my guests if they can leave my listeners with an action item, just because we can listen to all the great stuff you're saying, but if people don't go out and put it to work or put anything to work, then what was the point? So if you could prescribe my listeners anything for the next 60 days that they had to do that could, you know, help their life, help their career, what would that be?
Well, I guess the thing that jumps to mind is the Miracle Morning. And it's a book that was written by Hal. What's Hal's last name? Do you remember his last name?
Hal Elrod.
Elrod. And I bought the book after hearing about it. I might have even been from you that I heard about it. And I have not done it every day. I will admit that. But the concept is you wake up every morning and you do these 6 tasks, and each one is 10 minutes long. So you spend 1 hour on basically centering yourself and improving yourself and being good to yourself in the morning before you do everything else. And I think, like most people, I focus on other people from the minute I get up in the morning until I go to sleep. It's not a lot of thought being put into my own personal care or my own mental state or whatever. I just have to go with the flow while I take care of everybody else. And the Miracle Morning forces you to first take care of yourself so that you're in a better position to take care of other people. And it is pretty miraculous. You just do it one day. And it's 10 minutes of affirmations, 10 minutes of journaling, 10 minutes of reading something that will, some improvement type book, 10 minutes of meditation, 10 minutes of exercise. I think that's all of them. But it really does start your day off on the very best foot. And if you can start your day off that way, generally speaking, the rest of your day follows suit. You set yourself up to be mentally strong, physically strong, and in a really good state of mind. So I would say if you feel like your days aren't going the direction you want them to go, or you're not accomplishing as much as you want to accomplish, or you're just feeling, especially with this pandemic stuff, disconnected and unmotivated, the miracle morning is the best way to kick yourself in the pants.
No, that's great advice. It just sets your day up, like you said, to win, because you're starting by accomplishing tasks that, one, your mind, once you accomplish things, it's kind of like a confidence builder. You're keeping those promises you make to yourself, and then you're doing the next task and the next task, and that confidence builds. It just puts you in the mindset to like, okay, what's next? And like you said, also in this pandemic, it creates a routine for you. So you're not just waking up and like throwing on Netflix in the morning and wasting away. Yeah. So I couldn't agree more. I did something similar. I know we talked about that. I did something called 75 Hard, which is a mental program, mental fitness program designed by Andy Frisella. And I was just halfway through it. It's 75 days long. Halfway through it is when the pandemic hit. And I attribute that to my continued kind of motivation through this pandemic, because it created a structured day for me. I knew I had to get this stuff done. So it didn't allow me to just like sit on the couch and waste away. I had to get that stuff done. So then I created that mindset to get the other stuff in my business that I need to get done. So I couldn't agree with you more. Something that creates that accountability and that discipline in life is very important.
Yeah, I would say two. I'm going to give you two, because this one has been, I think, integral to my own success in business and in my personal life, because I've done a lot of stuff and I attribute a lot of it to visualization. So a lot of people will say, I'd really like to do something, this thing, one day in the future. I'm that person, but what I'll do then is I will sit there in the evening before I fall asleep, or in the morning before I get up, I will picture like a movie in my mind, that thing actually happening. And I'll see myself dressed in whatever attire I need to be dressed in to be doing that thing and talking to the people I need to be talking to and enjoying the accolades that come from success in that area. And I will create a whole movie in my mind of me doing that thing, doing it well, and reaping the benefits of it. And at one point in my life, 10 years ago, my husband and I talked about moving overseas and living in France, which is something a lot of people talk about doing, but I started visualizing it. And the more you can visualize it, the more you can imagine that it really can happen. And then you can see very clear steps on how to make that vision become reality. And we did, in fact, move to France, and we lived there for almost a decade. And everything I pictured in my mind as I lay in bed in the United States, we ended up doing when we were there. And I had created the life that I wanted to live in my mind first. And then once I could see it so clearly in my mind, it seemed like a done deal already. So I would say visualization is a super important skill that you can utilize to help accomplish your dreams.
That's awesome. Yeah, visualization is a huge part of that. I visualize before I go to bed. I'm trying to incorporate it when I wake up as well. But yeah, I visualize myself owning thousands of units of multifamily, living off a healthy stream of income to not only live the life I want to live, but provide a life to my family that they can live and also give back to my community. So I think it's very important to visualize. That's something I'm trying to incorporate more and more into my day. And there's a lot of power in it. So, yeah. Well, thank you, Lee. Where can the listeners find you? I know you mentioned you have a website for your business and also your book, but where can they find you?
Well, if you go to my website at Sparks Blackthorn Capital, you'll find a link to my Facebook page. You'll find a link to the book. So that's probably the best central place. So it's Sparks, Sparks, Blackthorn, Blackthorn, capital.com.
All right. I'll link it in the show notes too.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lee. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. I'm really glad I finally got onto your podcast. I love your podcast, by the way. So
thank
it's
you.
A real privilege to be a guest. So thank you for inviting
me. And I was actually on Lee's podcast. What's the name of your podcast, Lee?
The Real Estate Education Channel, it's REECH, Reach.
All right. Well, you should go check that out as well. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.